This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Dukes and Bell. It's Friday, and we're hanging out at Twin Peaks in Bughead. Come on through and hang out with us. We're getting ready for the SEC Championship game as well tomorrow. And it's a huge game, just plain and simple. I mean, I don't know how to beat around the bush and say all these
things. It's the biggest game in Kirby Smart's life. Well, actually, that was the championship game. That was 17. Well, this is the second biggest. Well, I don't know. Every time you play Alabama, it's the biggest game in any Georgia fan's life. We know that.
It might. Yeah. But if they win, and we're talking about the Dogs, if. I think they do. But if they win, it is the biggest game because it sets up where they want to be. Now, obviously, they got to win the national semifinal game. Who that will be against, who knows? We'll see how these conference games play out this weekend.
Right.
But it gives you an opportunity to be right where we've talked about they should be, and that's an opportunity to play for the
next. But it is funny because Georgia fans, and we've been talking to Georgia fans for the last few months, the mindset of Georgia fans that, you know, until you beat Alabama, you feel sheepish to say we're better than Alabama. Yeah. Some Georgia fans look at this team and say, look, this is one of the years where we've got more things on our side. Check, check, check. But then, of course, let's be honest, Alabama fans are insufferable because they've had it. They've been there. And, you know, I don't know if they were talking this much jive when Mike DuBose was coach or Mike
Shula. No, they were not.
Look, when Saban put this machine in place, well, now Kirby has got his machine. And as we know, and I have to remind Dog fans, we've done everything, but as you and I always say, dot the I. But this is a year where it's so funny, Carl. The only thing which I think has kept Kirby from getting the national championship is maybe how could you argue the quarterback situation was handled and mishandled, or the special team situations and some of those wacky play calls. Everyone always, you know, the fake punt that will live in infamy. So it really comes down to Kirby handling his business. By the way, is Kirby better prepared than ever for this himself? We've never really talked about him and the X's and O's and how he leans into Monken and go, what are we doing here, this and that.
Two plays right now that live in your memory. Second and 26.
Right.
Ill-fated fake punt.
Yep.
Those two plays. We're talking about the Justin Fields fake punt. You guys
know. Everybody in the stadium knew what was
coming.
Everybody
knew.
Right.
Those two plays are the two plays that you remember and you think about when it's Alabama and why you haven't been able to get past them. To answer the question about Kirby, which is interesting, Mike, because you think as you move forward in this, right, you think about your job. If you started your job and you were new 3 years ago, where you are now versus 3 years ago, you're better at your job. If you're not, you're probably fired. But you're better at your job. The same applies to coaching. That's why, like, when these guys get jobs in the NFL, and we all immediately think they know it all, and then you start seeing the time mistakes or the clock management mistakes, the in-game management mistakes. Those things you kind of have to go through. I don't care how many people you have around you in your ear, you still make the final decision. And so for Kirby, yeah, I do think he's better now. I do think he's better prepared because he's been in some of these situations, Mike, where I don't think he's going to make the same decisions. I don't think he's going to look at it in the same way that he has in the past. So I do think he's better prepared now. That doesn't mean they win the game, but if you're telling me, do I want this Kirby Smart or the 2017 or 2016 Kirby Smart, give me this Kirby Smart.
Now, again, what do we know about college football? Just like the pros these days, it's all about offense. So when you have a team that is really good defensively, the talking heads on television land don't know how to talk about it. They don't get it. They don't understand it. All they know is dial a score because that's how we thought you had to win. That's why you and I were saying you've got to have that dynamic quarterback, and that's why a guy like JT Daniels had to be in there. And then you say, wait a minute, can you rewind the clock a few years and have a A.J. McCarron win you a championship or a Greg McElroy or a Jacob Coker, which is kind of what Stetson Bennett is. You know, so I think when your defense is that good, is the run game good enough? Will Georgia's offensive line be able to muscle up and run the football if they try to take it away?
It's see, here's the thing, too. Every year I've gone, Georgia matches up.
Right.
They haven't. I'm talking about up front. I mean, the one year, and every one of these games, by the way, Georgia's had a lead. That's another part of this discussion when you talk about Kirby. Mm-hmm. How do you handle having a lead in this game? Because you've had leads against Alabama in the regular season when you lost at their place. You had it in the SEC championship game, and you had it in the national championship game. But I'll say this, Mike. The whole scoring thing, let's not get it twisted, guys. Alabama's coming into this game averaging 43 points a game. 42.7 a game. Now, you're going to say, well, who have they played? The same people Georgia played. They're scoring. It's not like you don't score or you can't score and win a national championship. The problem is they are facing the best defense they will have seen all season. What gives? Is Georgia going to give up 6.7 points against Alabama? I'm going to tell you no. I think Alabama's going to score, but I don't think they're going to score 42. And if they do, do you have enough faith that Georgia's going to be able to do that? Do you have enough faith that Georgia can put up 45, 48?
See, there is a question because, you know, Bryce, like, now that means Bryce Young is having one of the greatest days.
Absolutely.
In the history
five
of college
touchdown
football.
Kind of day, yes.
And the thing is, with Alabama, they don't have their best running back. He's not 100%. And even then, it's not like you're talking about a Najee Harris a year ago. But still, if you go through this box, that box, Alabama's, you know, defense is a good defense. It's a top 10 defense, but Georgia's is that much better. Then people say Alabama's played stiffer competition. The schedule in the West is a lot tougher than what Georgia played. What do you say to that? And the fact that Georgia hasn't had to put four quarters together because they're beating people up. And then what happens if we get into that reel? And that's what Alabama faced against Clemson a couple years ago. Remember, Alabama ran through it, then Clemson hit him in the mouth.
That's right.
I think it was 16, the first Dabo championship.
I do think the West is tougher right now, Mike. I mean, honestly, South Carolina, let down. Missouri, right. Tennessee, it was a game for a quarter, and then it wasn't. I mean, the West is better. Ole Miss is playing well. Mm. Arkansas, it was 35-42 against Alabama. They're in that game. Texas A&M beat them on the road. The West is better. So I think that's a question we've got to see answered tomorrow if, in fact, it gets to the fourth quarter and it's close.
Now, the other thing is, if you're looking for some kind of like way to base your decisions, the common opponents, and you just laid it out. You know, Florida was able to run the football against Alabama. Granted, that was in the swamp, and then Alabama still found a way to win that game. Texas A&M was able to run the football against Alabama. So, you know, Georgia, that's what we just talked about, what we're going to try to do. I think that Arkansas is a physical challenge. Kentucky was a physical challenge.
They were.
That's a game. I mean, I know maybe people don't respect Kentucky outside the SEC, but that was a physical. I was at that game. That was physical.
It was. And you know, you hear, we heard Vince Dooley, the legendary Vince Dooley, who joins us every week, talk about it. You know, they've been physical for years. And then we hear Kirby talk about it. But because you win the game in the fashion you do, people don't see that as a physical game. It's Dukes and Bell, man. We're talking about the SEC championship. More coming up with David Pollack. In about 10 minutes, you'll hear from David Pollack talking about this game and his thoughts on the rest of the competition, guys. If Georgia wins on Saturday, and most people, again, think that they will, you know, who will they play in the college football playoff? That's still yet to be seen, and we'll have to see how that shakes out. Hey, we're live at Twin Peaks. Come on out and join us out here in Buckhead. We'll be here until 7 o'clock today, and a big shout-out to our on-site engineer as well, Eric, making everything happen, Bo behind the glass. Hey, Bo, let's get to an NFL blitz!
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
So it was a bad night last night for the Saints.
It's fun to watch.
I say it was a bad night. I loved every minute of it. I'm sitting there and I'm going, Taysom Hill's going to throw an interception. Oh, he just threw another interception. Four interceptions, Mike Bell?
Yeah, Taysom Hill, now they said he had a bad pinky or finger. Something was bad on his tootsie.
Yeah, whatever.
But there were a couple of plays where, if you were watching the game last night, there was no joke. Sean Payton, you know what he was drawing up? It was like, guys, we're going to run a single wing. This was literally football from the 1920s.
Don't screw this up.
It was like, and now this one, look at this, one of those wacky forward pass attempts, you know. But no, the Saints were so one-dimensional. But then because, and again, I don't think there's any reflection of Dan Quinn. He's not calling the offensive plays. But it was so funny if you watch the end of the third quarter into the fourth. The Cowboys were in control of the game, but they kept keeping the Saints in it by not burning clock, by stopping with incompletions. Dak threw a terrible couple of, I mean, there's some bad, bad turnovers for both sides in that game.
Mike, you know who wasn't out on the field last night? Marcus Davenport.
your favorite Saint.
He wasn't out there. Yep. And I'm thinking to myself, where's 92? Oh, let me scan. Let me see where 92. 92's not out there. Again, you know why? Because he's always hurt. That's why. He didn't pan out, Saints fans. I'm sorry. Stop telling me how good he is and how he's a difference maker and how he's going to lead the team in sacks. How about he get healthy for once?
Well, I will say this about the Saints. Alvin Kamara last night.
Ah, excuses!
But I will say this. On the flip side, you mentioned this to start the program. What's up with Zeke? Ezekiel Elliott's not even close to looking like the former player he once was.
He's had four of his worst games in this stretch. He's had eight games in his career. He's played 86 games for the Cowboys. Eight of those games where he's rushed for like under 50 yards, four of those have been in the last 4 weeks. Even against us, going back to that terrible loss against the Cowboys, he didn't rush the ball in that game. He didn't have 150 yards. So I think he's hurt, Mike. I think that Pollard showed last night that's probably going to be the go-to guy here for a while until healthy. Or they're going to have to take some of that pressure off. He just doesn't look explosive.
The Cowboys are such a roller coaster. They go from looking like the team to beat. Remember they looked so good on the first night of the season on Thursday against the Bucks.
Yep.
They've had some stops and starts. They've had some injuries. Obviously, Dak missed some games. I don't know if I still trust the Cowboys to be there to make it even to the NFC Championship. I still think it's going to be the Bucks and the Packers.
Mike, I'm watching this game last night. Good football teams, once they got the Saints down, they should have just put their foot on their neck. And they kept just giving them chances. And Dak was making bad decisions.
Yeah, he was. And by the way, I keep forgetting about the Arizona Cardinals because Kyler Murray's coming back. But the Cardinals are a team which could be the number one seed in the NFC.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Hey, speaking of what's going on, we both said it was an idiot move by Antonio Brown. If it was true, and we both figured it was, and now it's proven to be true, that he was trying to find somebody to get him a COVID vaccination card, and now the NFL did their proper investigation. He's been suspended, but Bruce Arians was talking about this, and I don't know if he's, like, taking up for his guys or what he's saying.
Or does the NFL need to look at other teams? And basically, Bruce was, the way I read the soundbite was Bruce is intimating that other teams have got some funny business, too, and if you looked under everybody else's fingernails, you'd find some other guys pulling some shady stuff.
Okay, that may be true. But what other teams don't have is an idiot wide receiver who's texting his girlfriend and his chef is involved. Hey, can you guys get me a fake COVID card? I think the evidence for him was there. But, yeah, I don't disagree with that. Do you think everybody in the NFL are following all these protocols?
No, I mean, look, but here's one thing you and I, we've talked about COVID, you know, as long as COVID's been around, is if you don't want to get the shot. We were actually the first guys, remember when the thing, because I always have these crazy stories I find, and the thing we talked about it in December, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, we did.
But anyway, we were talking about if you want to get the shot, get the shot. But if you don't want to get the shot, fine. You want to make a statement like, but don't equivocate or pull some kind of crap where I was immunized. And, of course, Green Bay, everyone's kissing Aaron's ass, and nobody asked the follow-up question. We later find out he wasn't. But in this case,
he was taking vitamins, Mike. I'm giving you that.
No, I mean, look.
Before
and by the way,
shot, I was doing everything. There are treatments. There are vitamins and a sequence of vitamins. And if you're in a medical profession, you know this. My wife is on this. That you can take that helps your system.
Your immune system.
It doesn't mean it's going to stop COVID.
No, but I mean, regardless, again, knock it out there, man. You still got to follow the NFL protocols. And the NFL says you got to have this, this, and that if you're going to be signed off on it. And then you get to do this, this, and that. All I'm saying is if you are going to take the shot, do it. If you're not going to, good to see you, darling. I was hugging Carl, by the way, if my wife is listening, not the super hot bartender that has her own drink here at Twin Peaks.
I'll let you be the judge of that.
But here's the deal. It's not just Antonio Brown. We talked earlier this week with Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times. They've been literally pulling guys off the street. One of the guys who also had the fake COVID card is John Franklin. He's a free agent. He's not even on the Bucs. But Mike Edwards was going to be playing against the Falcons in the defensive rotation. He will not be able to play this week for them. And they are literally down to like second, third, and fourth in some case strings in the second.
And by the way, I mean, it'd be great to say that's a big loss, you know, not having Antonio Brown this weekend. But they still have that Tom Brady guy. He makes everybody better. So it could be a receiver we've never heard of they'll throw out there, and the guy will have six catches against us because that's what Brady does. It is better to not have AB on the field, but I just wanted to address that because I saw the Bruce Arians comments, and I get it. He's trying to say, hey, the NFL needs to do a better job. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Adrian Peterson still saying, Mike, he's playing for the love of the game. Okay, he signed with the Seahawks. He's on their practice squad. I just think, you know, the game is passed him by. I think it's over for him.
You know, we're big fans of the dude. He's still, 36 years of age, right?
Yeah, 36.
So but, I mean, we saw him in Tampa when he was coming back from we were in Houston. We were at the Super Bowl
that's
when
right.
We saw him coming off the knee injury. And, of course, he had played for five more years after that at a high level. He did have eight touchdowns for the Lions last year. So, I mean, he still thinks he can contribute. I guess maybe he'll get a chance because Seattle is just such a bad spot. Carson's been banged up. They've had all sorts of issues there. In the West, Sean McVay would be surprised if Odell Beckham Jr. misses Sunday's game. The Rams have got a four-game losing streak going on right now. And a lot of teams, and who's on with us? Ross Tucker was saying the all-star team thing. The Eagles tried it about 5 years ago. Sometimes just throwing every free agent in there, unless you do it with a real plan the way Belichick did, addressing needs and going for worker bees and not stars. But sometimes slapping an all-star team together doesn't fly. And once again, the Rams, who have got to have no draft picks, seemingly, in the first round forever.
No, they don't.
You know, are going to have to really turn this thing around. And another guy whose reputation continues to take hits is Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford he's been making some really Matthew Stafford Lions-like mistakes, which we thought were going to stop when he went to the Rams.
I'm not sure what's going on there.
And he doesn't pass the eye test.
No, and he did. Remember, he got off to a great start. We were talking about the MVP six games into the season. And this losing streak has kind of exposed them a little bit, Mike. And, you know, we talk about the star power on defense. They got guys, but they're not playing as a unit. And that's part of the issue here, right? I mean, Aaron Donald, I'd take him any day of the week. But it's not just about Aaron Donald. It's about these other guys all doing their jobs, including Von Miller, who's the newest addition there. Hey, man, we've got more to get to, including our Yeah Man, No Man, which happens to be today, our hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. We do it every Friday. You may be going to the SEC Championship game. If you're tailgating, send pics, guys. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. Send it to Dukes and Bell, 929, Mike Bell ATL, or put him up, C Dukes. Squid Billy 929. We're going to talk about what we're cooking for the weekend. But when we come back, Mike, we're going to hear from David Pollack.
Yeah, man. Pollack breaking down the SEC Championship game. And can Alabama stop Georgia? See what DP has to say about it next.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Pepto-Bismol, making upset stomachs happy for over 100 years. Like the rest of you, I am still in a state of shock that Brian Kelly showed up in the state of Louisiana to address the LSU faithful with a Southern accent. I've spoken to Brian Kelly for years on my radio program. He never sounded like that before. I'm Jim Rome.
We are live at Twin Peaks, hanging out in Buckhead, guys, today. Getting ready for the SEC Championship game tomorrow. More dog conversation on the way. And we've got the Falcon Report at 5 o'clock as Dave Archer will stop by to get us ready for the Buccaneers on Sunday. Bo Morgan is doing it all today, Mike. He is literally producing the show. He is our engineer back at the studio. I know his head's about to explode. Bo Morgan, what's going on, man?
Hey, it's another day in paradise, as my friend Mike Bell would say. So it's all good. You know what? I realize that I don't like driving into work.
What do you mean?
Second time in a week span that I've driven down here, and it's taken me an hour to get here. And it's just like ridiculous. Like, what are people have no clue how to drive. I'm not looking forward to the pandemic ending soon when we have to come back to the office. I mean, I am to the pandemic, you know, ending, but I'm not looking forward to having to come back in because of this, the driving alone. It puts me in a, you know, what's bugging Squid mood? You know, what's bugging Chuckery? Well, what's bugging Squid? Traffic. And people on Twitter who don't know I got to ask you guys a question before we get to our food.
He's coming in hot today, Carl. He's dealing with traffic and Twitter right now, so the two T's
are. Well, it sounds like somebody's got really comfortable at the crib, yeah. But go ahead, Bo.
I'm comfortable anywhere I go, except for the road in Atlanta traffic, because morons are driving with me. All right, and I don't even name call. I'm just doing it now because I'm mad. So I've went back and forth. I think, for the record, I am an anti-Aaron Rodgers guy. Not a big fan. I think he's passive-aggressive, which I can't stand. Just be the way you want to be. And, you know, he's that West Coast aloof guy. But people are trying to say that he should have been suspended as much as Antonio Brown should have been suspended because they both lied. Well, I don't think they're the same because one was up front with his organization that he never got vaccinated. Whether he lied to the media or not, or whether he broke a protocol, which we don't know that he did. He broke the media protocol, but he was still far enough away. But we don't know what he did behind the scenes where Green Bay said he handled it. But Antonio Brown forged a medical document and then pushed it off as real and then broke all the protocols and willingly, selfishly put people at risk because he didn't want to even act like it. So, real quick, Yeah Man, No Man, are the two cases of what Antonio Brown did and Aaron Rodgers did the same?
No, I think in the case of Rodgers, I just think it's bad. The media really didn't follow up when he kind of, you know, get that vague answer that he was immunized. And by the way, you know, this gets, as we always joke around, Carl, this conversation gets sideways. I'm just saying, if you don't want to get the shot, fine. If you do get the shot, get the shot. But don't fake it. You know, so Aaron Rodgers kind of split the baby like King Solomon, and Antonio Brown just plain lied about it, you know, and pulled a forgery, pulled a fraud. A fugazi, as we say in New York, Carl.
Yeah, it's not the same, Bo. No, man, it's not the same. The fraudulent nature in which Antonio Brown went about this, it looks worse. Aaron got flack because he tried to fool us publicly, and right. Then again, the Packers kind of allowed it. Everybody kind of just right. went along with this. But dude, you're texting your girlfriend and your chef and whoever else to ask him if they can mm-hmm. find you a fake vax card? I mean, it's out there. I'm not making it up. So I right. think that looks a lot worse, Mike. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, as we said, if you're in a major market and it wasn't just a bunch of Packers butt-kissing media, somebody would say, are you vaccinated, yes or no? But they never did that. And then later on, we got that whole, you know, rigmarole about him consulting Dr. Joe Rogan about how he should handle it. So either way, Antonio Brown suspended for 3 games along with a teammate and a guy who's no longer on the Bucks. So if he wants to get back in the NFL, he's got to sit for 3 games.
Yep.
My favorite thing about the Aaron Rodgers thing is the national media loved him in July and May and April when he was sticking it to the Packers and just showing them who was boss and, you know, being passive aggressive with them and kind of a jerk to them. But then when he lied to the media, oh boy, the tide turned. It was a vicious for a week and a half. He was public enemy number one in sports, and you know, I just think it was funny how that turned. But anyways. It's the weekend. It's SEC Championship weekend, yeah. guys. It's a big weekend in Atlanta. Championship games all across college football. Falcons, Bucks. And we're doing tailgate at home, you know, with our good friends at the Buckhead Butcher Shop. I'm not going to lie. You know, it's been a lot of travel lately. But I'm going traditional. I'm not reverse searing a steak. I'm not doing a pork butt. I'm just going to go with some bacon cheddar burgers. I'm going to take out that little, nice. The itty-bitty baby green egg that I have, and I'm going to throw some Royal Oak charcoal, the hardwood lump on there, and I'm gonna get a little couple of burgers going, maybe some Arby's curly fries in the air fryer, and that's what I'm going with it. It's going to be a nice, easy weekend of grilling at Squidbilly Manor.
I love it. And by the way, again, use the hashtag Dukes of Bell tailgate at home, whatever you're cooking. If you're at a tailgate, if you're at a game, I know Sunday will be a Falcons. Tomorrow, Mike's a SEC. If you're making your way around, you know, the Colts or wherever,
right.
Hey, man, in your tailgate, send the pics. Let us know what you got cooking. For me, because of the busy weekend, I've yet decided, but I took two things out. I took some ribs out because I think I want to fry some ribs. I want to barbecue them, but then I want to flash fry them
right.
at the end and then sauce them up as a snack. I don't think I'm going to eat them for dinner or anything like that. I think I'm just going to slice them.
It's a very bold decision
yeah,
out there.
I think I'm going to slice them up and then eat them as a snack along the way on Saturday and then into Sunday. But that's what I'm thinking about doing, Mike. And then, you know, as far as sides, I'm at that point right now with the holidays, you know. We just went through right. Thanksgiving. I'm in snack mode, man. I'm much more wanting smaller side items that I can just snack on than I am looking for, like, meals, as we've done in the past. That's kind of where my right. head's at right now. But we'll see. So I think I'm going to do a couple of nice. Those kinds of dishes.
And for guys out there, our sponsor for the segment is Buckhead Butcher Shop, and they're friends with my buddies on the south side, which is the Cleaver and the Cork. And they've got the pre-made sides, corn souffle, potatoes au gratin, just smaller than a hockey puck, which for guys, it's idiot-proof. Just throw it in the oven, warm it up, and you're good to go. So, yeah, Squid, going to do it tonight because, as Carl mentioned, I got football on Saturday and Sunday. So I got a big bone-in ribeye, Carl, and I'm going to do the reverse sear like I like to, and I got a petite filet. That's what I call Becky. That's my love name for my little petite filet. So we got that going on tonight, and we're going to do that in the Rec Tech, which is like a Traeger. For those who are new to the show, we love to do the reverse sear where you do low heat and then pop it on for about 500, let it get a nice sear on the outside.
So, guys, it doesn't matter what you're doing and what kind of meat you're doing. If it doesn't matter if you're doing sides or a main course, or as we've said, maybe you're joining someone else's tailgate and you're like, damn, I got to take a picture of this. Do that and send it to us. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. And, of course, follow us at 929 The Game. That's this radio station. Squidbilly, of course, put him on there. Let him know what's going on. And we try to interact as much as we can, guys. And our man Mike Conte. It's been a minute because Conte's
been working.
Been doing a lot of games and whatnot. But he is a big part of this segment as well. So put Mike on there. He'd love to see what you've got working as well. Mike Conte, 929.
All right, guys. Real quick, I guess I'll do a teaser for next week. I have a question for you guys. I'm going to ask next week, right at time this week. But it's about something I've done in the past, and it's become a tradition for me and in the show a little bit as well. And so a teaser for next week, should I continue the tradition that always that I take place in February? So stay tuned for that next week. And real quick, don't forget about our friends at the Georgia Hemp Company, because you can get all your holiday CBD products and holiday hemp products delivered right to your door for free when you order first class with the Georgia Hemp Company. Now to New Year's Day. Shipping is free at the GeorgiaHempCompany.com. Bo, hit Squid's music.
I'm sorry, Squid. I'm going to step on Georgia Hemp Company. They're a proud sponsor. I'm trying to figure out what is this weary tradition. Dressing up like Abe Lincoln on President's Day with a stovetop hat? I'm not sure. Right,
guess you got to tune in at 3:40 on Monday.
He's going to tell us next
week. Can't
wait. Hey, man, great job. And a big shout-out to the folks at the Georgia Hemp Company. Coming up, we're going to talk more dogs, more Kirby, more Saban, more Bama. SEC Championship game tomorrow at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Stuyvesant.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.